manger where he lay, to the garden where he prayed. I'd always heard about this stranger, but I never thought for me he could calm the raging sea.
Thank you, Rita. I appreciate that. Well, good morning once again. Good to see everybody in our service today. We're certainly glad that you are here with us this morning. Would you please stand as we read from the scripture this morning, if you would? We're going to go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7. Let's read together, please, if you would, follow along just one verse this morning. The Apostle Paul, in addressing the Corinthian church, says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, as we consider your word this morning, we pray, dear God, that we would never get in a place in our Christian walk when we would walk by sight. But, Lord, rather that we would walk in faith, as Paul admonishes the Corinthian church to do. And, Lord, we know it's the right thing to do. Help us always to move forward in faith, because when we do, we know that we're always doing the right thing. Help us today. I pray, Lord, that you would save the lost. Anyone who's in the sound of my voice this morning who does not know you as Lord and Savior, that they would place their trust in Christ today. Lord, that you might speak to any that are unchurched. Lord, that any that need to follow you in scriptural baptism, that you would have your will and way in all these things. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you very much. And be seated, if you would, please. Today we are in part number two of a message that I started last Sunday. And it's entitled, We've come this far by faith. You know, the scripture tells us, in fact, turn there, if you would please, with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, the same writer speaks to the Ephesian church, it is the Apostle Paul, and he states to them, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I have chosen a spiritual song this morning, certainly in the last week also, that, you know, music, if it is scriptural, can instruct us. It can teach us. Paul said that we are to sing to the Lord with melody in our heart. There's something joyous about singing to the Lord. I remember years ago, from time to time, I would sing in a quartet. And oftentimes when I would be in the car, I would practice my part. And one day, one of the church members said, I saw you yesterday, and it looks like you were singing. And I said, I was trying. I was practicing a part to sing in a quartet number. And but, you know, singing can be uplifting, can it not? And Paul said to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And the song I selected, We've Come By This Far By Faith, certainly is not a hymn, and I would not classify it as a psalm. But I think it qualifies as a spiritual song. I like good spiritual music that teaches doctrine. This is such. It's an old Negro spiritual written, I believe, in the 30s. It was brought to national prominence by the Old Time Gospel Hour when they chose it originally as their theme song. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed us yet. Oh, we can't turn back. We've come this far by faith. And so we did our best to try to personalize this particular chorus. And it gives us the who of the song. We, the Berean Baptist Church of Albuquerque, New Mexico. The what, have come, or we have progressed. The when, this far. To this point in time. Of the 62 years that Berean Baptist Church has been in existence, we have come this far by faith. And so that is the challenge today, is again, as we look at this. Last week we showed you the how and 2 points. The first one was by faith. And it should not surprise us that the Apostle Paul would tell the Corinthian church to walk by faith. That should not surprise us that we also have that same command to walk by faith, not by sight, not by our own personality, not by our wallet, not by our lifestyle, but by faith. We are to walk in this life. We are on a journey. From the very moment that we trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are on a journey that eventually will lead us home. So Paul says that we're to walk by faith, and that should not surprise us because, after all, as we looked at that, we understood that we're saved by faith. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6 tells us. Not only are we saved by faith, we are kept by faith in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5. Thirdly, we will live again by faith according to John chapter 11 and verse number 25. And so we live by faith. Secondly, the second point was this, leaning on the Lord. Leaning on the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5 tells us that leaning is trusting. Leaning on the Lord is trusting. Leaning on the Lord is acknowledging. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 6. We acknowledge or we own the Lord Jesus. Next, leaning is described as listening in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 7. Jesus said not to be just hearers of the word, but also to be doers. And then we learned that leaning is healthy, according to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 8. And lastly, leaning produces blessing, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And I know I went through that rather quickly, but if you want more, buy the CD. It's available. It's $2, and you'll get last week's message because I can't take the time to preach it again this morning. Now I want to move on to the third point, the third reason for how. And it's this. The next line of the song says, trusting in His holy word. Will you agree with me this morning that the word of God is holy? Will you agree with me this morning that I hold in my hand the Word of God? It is His Word. It is not my Word. It is not the Apostle Paul's. It is the Lord God's. And so the song tells us we got this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy Word. What does that mean? Well, let's go to the book of Psalms, if you would please, the 119th chapter, Psalms 119, and plug in at verse number 105, if you would please. What does it mean to trust in the Word of God? Well, the psalmist tells us, Thy Word, this is God's Word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Trusting in the Word of God. So we've come this far by faith. Berean Baptist Church, in the 62 years of our existence, we've gotten here by faith, by walking in faith, by leaning on the Lord, and then thirdly, by trusting in His holy Word. The 119th Psalm, what an interesting psalm this is. 176 verses in the 119th Psalm. 176 times in the 119th Psalm, we are instructed to trust in the Word of God. Now, we're not going to, I know you want to get to lunch. You know, you want to get to Luby's. You know, before it closes. And so we're not going to go through all 119 verses, but I do want us to look at a few of these for just a moment. So Psalm 119, verse number 1, every one of these 176 verses talks about the Word of God. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. What is the law of the Lord? It's the Word of God. Amen? The law of the Lord is the Word of God. Look at verse number 8. I will keep thy statutes. What are God's statutes? The Word of God. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Drop down to verse number 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. There's the reference again. Verse number 24, thy testimonies. Where do we find God's testimonies? In His Word. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Oh, how wonderful it is to know that the Word of God is profitable for counsel. It would keep us from so much trouble if we would first go to the Word of God and see what thus saith the Lord. Then, verse number 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. There it is. Teach me, O Lord, according to your word. Look at verse number 41. Let thy mercies come unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. How do we learn, where do we learn about the mercies of Almighty God? In His holy word. Verse number 49, remember the word unto thy servant upon whom thou hast caused me to hope. And that word simply means remember, it just simply means remind me. makes me think of another great gospel song. Remind me, dear Lord. Remind me according to thy word. Verse number 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. What words? The word of God. Verse number 65. Thou hast dealt with well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. How will God deal with us? According to the word of God. His written, recorded word of God. Verse number 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Where do we find the commandments of Almighty God? Right here in the word of God. Verse number 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. We're saved by the word of Almighty God. Verse number 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled where? In heaven. You say, I don't like preaching. Guess what heaven's going to be like? We're going to have the word of God forever and forever and forever. Folks, you may as well fall in love with it. You're going to meet the word one of these days in heaven. Let's go on for just a moment. Notice what else it says in verse number 104. Through thy precepts. Where do we find the precepts? God's precepts. We find them in the word. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Where do we find the law? We find it in the word of God. Verse 120. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Where do we learn of the judgments of Almighty God? We learn them from the precious word of God. 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Let me ask you a question this morning, church. Do you love the word of God? You need to. It will bless your heart. It will bless your soul. It will bless you throughout eternity. 120. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee. I am afraid of thy judgments. Verse 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keep them. Verse number 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Verse 145. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Verse 153. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Verse 161. Princes have persecuted me with a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Do you stand in awe of the word of God this morning? There is one that is awesome, and that is the Lord God. We need to stand in awe of him. Verse number 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. We are instructed over and over and over again in the 119th Psalm, 176 times in that psalm, to trust in the word of God. And that's not all. Let's go to the New Testament. Turn, if you would please, to the book of Hebrews real quickly. Chapter number 4, the book of Hebrews this morning. If you would go there, please. Hebrews chapter number 4, and I want to begin to read in verse number 12. For the word of God is what? It is quick. That word quick means it is living. It is alive this morning. This is not a dead book. This is not a book that, you know, that just sits on a shelf. This is a living book. This book is alive this morning. So understand today that the Word of God, some people say, oh, those are just ancient writings. You've heard him say, oh, you know, people can make prophecies and you know, over a period of time, they'll come true. Not like this book. Do you understand that there were over 300 scriptures about Jesus Christ, about his first coming, about his miraculous birth, his virgin birth, about his life, about his death, and about his ascension into heaven, and they've been fulfilled. And there are more scriptures about his coming again. And one of these days, Jesus will appear in the clouds, just like the Bible said. Amen. We have a living Word of God today. It is not dead, it is alive. And we need to understand that this morning. Not only is the Word of God alive, but it's also powerful. Look there in verse number 12. And powerful. 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 Talked to the Sunday school class this morning that I taught about the power of Almighty God. You remember what it was that Jesus said in the 28th chapter? Beginning in verse number 18, he says, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. And understanding because God granted him that power, then he gave the command to the church to go into all the worlds and to teach the gospel, to tell others about Jesus Christ, and then baptize converts, and then disciple those converts and train them to do the very same thing that he taught them to do, so that the church would continue until he came. And here we are almost 2,000 years after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And we're still preaching the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This book, my friend, is powerful. It is full of power today. It is living and it is powerful. And it is not only powerful, notice what else it says there. It says that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. You want to be careful how you hold a two-edged sword. You better be careful that you hold it by the handle. You don't want to hold it by the blade, because there is no good place on that blade to hold it, because it is two-edged. The Word of God is sharp today. It is sharp. That is what the Scripture says. The Word of God is two-edged. It is sharp. Not only that, it is piercing. The Word of God pierces. It can pierce the old, cold, unregenerate heart of a man or a woman. God can give us a new heart, a heart of flesh, the Bible says. What is it talking about? It's talking about replacing that old, cold, callous heart of stone and giving us a heart of flesh that is pliable, that can be used to God's honor and glory. Isn't it wonderful to hear about a sinner who comes to repentance in Jesus Christ, who turns away from the old life, the old ways, begins to do the things that God wants them to do? What causes that? It is the Word of God, it is that piercing of that heart. That piercing that is so strong that the Bible says, the Scripture says there, notice what it says. It says that even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. Are you grateful for that today? I'm grateful that Jesus Christ gave me a brand new lease on life. I'm a different person than I was before I was saved. Thank God for that. But it is because of the Word of God, the power, the quickness, the fact that it lives, the fact that it is powerful, the fact that it is sharp, the fact that it is piercing and can divide asunder even of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow. And not only that, it is also a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Scripture, the Word of God. You can trust its counsel. You can trust what the Lord says. All around this country today, there are people who are spending millions of dollars getting bad counsel, getting ungodly counsel. And it's free right here. This is all the counsel you need. You don't need a psychiatrist. You don't need a psychologist. You just need King Jesus. You need Dr. Jesus. He's the one who can straighten you out. He's the one that can help you. He's the one, if you'll listen to his counsel, he'll clear it all up. He'll take it all away. He'll remove it all. Because the Word of God is a discerner. A discerner. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. How do we ask of God? We get into his wonderful word, and he will give us the answers that we need. It may not be the answer we want, but it will be the answer we need. And as we submit to his answer, then everything is going to work out all right. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Amen. Praise the Lord. He is a discerner. The Word of God is a discerner. So thank God this morning. We can trust in his holy word. The next line of the song gives us the why. We've looked at the who and the what and the when and the how. And now let's look at the why. And this is it. He's never failed us yet. God has never failed us yet. We need to remember that. We need to remember from where God has brought us. Go with me, if you would please, to the book of Numbers this morning in the Old Testament. The book of Numbers for just a moment. And I want to look there at chapter number 23, verse number 19. Notice what the scripture says. Moses records for us that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Somebody said that there's 3,000 promises in the Word of God to the child of God. 3,000 promises in the Word of God to the child of God. And let me tell you something. He is not going to go back on those promises. It is his word. He will fulfill his word. Let's read it again. Let me find the verse here. Help me out. Verse number 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? If God said it, it doesn't matter who believes it. It's a done deal. I can receive it. I can reject it. And that's what most of the world does this morning. It doesn't matter who believes it. If God said it, it is true. It is a reality. God will bless. God will take care of you. He will take care of me. Also look, if you would please, to Lamentations. The book of Lamentations this morning. Chapter number 23. I thought I had the... Here it is. Lamentations chapter number 3. Let's plug in at verse number 22. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Just think about that for just a moment. It's by the mercies of God that we are not consumed. That's why Kim Jong Moon, or whatever his name is still alive today, is because we have a merciful God. But you know what? You don't want to push God's mercy, because there'll come a day when that character will leave this earth. I hope he comes to Jesus before he does, because if he doesn't, he is going to split hell wide open. But you know what? It's easy to be critical of him, but what about us? Because the writer here is not speaking to the world. He is speaking to the believer. Look at it there. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Every morning we get a brand new crop of God's mercies. Not singular, plural. God is merciful to you. God is merciful to me. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, hear me today. God is for you. God wants to bless you. But do not try to put him in a box. Do not thwart the things that Almighty God does for you, because every dictator who has ever done that in the past, today is in hell. God has never failed us. God is faithful. God blesses where he leaves. Turn to the book of Hebrews once again, chapter 13, and this time to verse number 5. The 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, verse number 5. Notice what the writer says. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I want you to read that verse again. Notice what it says. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Do you understand today that that is the number one reason that people steal? Because they are not content. That is the number one reason that people commit crime, that they commit fraud, that they commit sexual sins. They are not content. The writer says, be content with the things that you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Are you going through a financial downturn in your life? Jesus said he would be with you. Jesus said, if you go through a financial downturn, I will be there. Jesus never said, buddy, if you're prospering, I'm for you. But if you're down in the dumps, I'm done. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. You're going through a difficulty of health? Maybe you found out that you've got cancer. Well, I've got good news for you this morning. If you've got cancer and you're near to being on your deathbed, Jesus said, I'd never leave you and I will never forsake you. He's going to be there with you. He's going to hold your hand. He is going to help you through that. And he might give you the ultimate healing. He might take you home to be with him. And I'm okay with that. I'm all right with that. I'd be done with this old world. Oh, what a glorious thought. Done with this old world, that's okay with me. Jesus, the Bible says, be content. Be content. God wants us to be content with the things that we have, because he's there with us. If it's a down time in your life, if it's a difficult time in your life, it can be the greatest time of your life, because you are with Jesus. He will never leave you, and he will never abandon you. a little over 11 years ago, God called me to serve as the interim pastor of the Berean Baptist Church. I served as interim for about 8 months, and then this church called me to be the pastor. And in those early days of all that we were going through, and it was a difficult time 11 years ago, and those for you who were with us at that time, you know what I'm talking about. It was a time of great testing in the ministry of the Berean Baptist Church. There were some predicting that this church would not survive. And some were so focused on that idea that they decided to help by not tithing to this ministry. That's kind of like self-prophecy. The Lord led me to focus on three areas to help this ministry transition. Number one, pray. Pray. Because there is nothing of value that ever happens without being bathed in prayer. Prayer is essential. It's essential in your private life. It's essential in your church life. It is essential in every aspect of your life. So, I brought messages on prayer. The second thing that God worked in my heart to do in respect to this ministry was to bring messages on working together. Working together. Interestingly enough, all three of these things are four-letter words. Pray. Oh, I don't want to pray. Pray. Work. Now, there's a bad four-letter word right there, I'm telling you. Work. And my challenge to this ministry was, pray with me, work with me, and number three, give with me. Pray, work, and give. You say, was it successful? Well, here we are 11 years later. Every debt's been paid that we've ever had. And when I say that, any debt that we've incurred along the line, we haven't borrowed money from anybody. Never a nickel. God has blessed this ministry enormously. I haven't looked at the total count, but we're probably approaching $2 million in missions in that length of time that has flowed through this ministry in those 11 years. Several million dollars altogether. And it all came about by praying, by working, and by giving together. Together. You see, there isn't anything that God will not help us with if we will do those three things. If we will pray together as a ministry. Probably one of the hardest ministries to get anybody to be involved in. It's traditionally our smallest meeting of the week. We meet here at 6 o'clock on Wednesday evenings to pray before the service. And it's generally our smallest meeting. Church, we must continue to pray together. Secondly, we must continue to work together. Jesus Christ is the one we're working for. Not man, not personality, but Jesus. He should be the primary one. Thirdly, giving together. Praying, working, giving. Not singling out personality, but focusing on Jesus, His ministry. We have come this far by faith. And He has never failed us yet. And I believe as long as we will continue to live by faith, to walk by faith, as long as we will continue to lean on the Lord, as long as we will continue to trust His holy word, He will never fail us. Heavenly Father, help us today. Help us to remain on track. Help us, O Father, to continue to do the things that are honoring and glorifying and pleasing to You. Lord, realizing that together, praying, together working, together giving, we can accomplish much greater things, all to Your honor and glory. Help us, O Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. If you